And we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the birds that are chirping this morning, singing to you. Dear Lord, thank you that we may come together to sing to you today. Dear Lord, we thank you too for the opportunity to hear your holy scriptures and holy gospel read, and for this time to contemplate these words, dear Lord. Please, by the power of your spirit, make them edifying to us and enlighten our hearts and minds. Dear Lord, help me to be a very small part of that communication, nevertheless empowered by your spirit. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Well, one of the peculiar things about us as followers of Christ is that we believe in the resurrection. And that is a witness to the world. The only thing that can be a little bit of a trick with that is that sometimes within the church, this can become, even though it's not usually expressed or spoken, insiders versus outsiders. In other words, those who have faith or maybe have been lifelong Christians and always believe versus those who struggle with doubt and those who wrestle. And I think that one of Jesus' disciples, Thomas, comes to the rescue in a sense. When we think about doubt and struggling with faith, and that this is not a distinction that we should worry about insiders versus outsiders, because even faith is a gift from God. And perhaps that this is one reason that Jesus called Thomas was for this moment in today's gospel, which is the only gospel that it's in, and to reveal that it's okay to wrestle. It's okay to have doubt. God can come and provide even in those times as well. Let's take a closer look at Thomas today. You know, Thomas is an investigator. He's one who is looking for how he's going to take what Jesus says and put it into action. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard of the Enneagram. My wife could tell you a lot more about it, but it's a thing that businesses and schools and any groups of people can use to try to help them be a team when there's different personalities, right? And sometimes with different personalities, there's conflict. And the Enneagram has the color coding system. And, you know, you might be an orange and I might be a green and thing, and those all mean things. But essentially what it does is it says, you know, when you're at your best, this is how you express who you are, your personality. And maybe when you're not at your best, this is how you express it. And I think for Thomas, when he's not at his best, we see this expression of doubt, right? Which we all have, you know, those times. And then when he is, though, we see these other sides of him. Unfortunately, in throughout history, he's been known as Doubting Thomas. And we've forgotten this other aspect of who he is. Let's look in John chapter 14, verse 5. So there's three times in John. He's a prominent disciple in John. He's not in the other Gospels. But in John, he has four scenes that are really important. We're going to look at just a few today. In John 14, verse 5, well, before that, Jesus is saying about where he's going, that I'm going to go build rooms for you in God's mansion. Essentially, it's a verse that's chapter that's often quoted in funerals. You know, I go before you. And he says, you know the way to the place where I am going. And Thomas jumps up and says, Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way? So again, we see he's investigating, right? He's after Jesus to find out more about what Jesus means and who he is. And because of this questioning by Thomas, Jesus says one of the most famous passages about who he is and where he's going, and one of the most famous names in all of Scripture for Jesus, and that is, I am the way and the truth and the life. And then, if we go on down to verse 7 of that same chapter, it says, if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And then in 9, part B, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And so, because of, you know, Thomas's questioning, we get not only I am the way, the truth, and the life, but we get this incredible revelation, which would have been, you know, stunning to the disciples. When Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So in other words, you're seeing God. It's an incredible statement. And Thomas's questioning brings that out. This is one of the big themes of the Gospel of John, that Jesus is the Son, the incarnate Son of God, and that he is revealing who the Father is. And not just in an abstract sense, but in a literal sense like this. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. So when Thomas is at his best, right, this questioning, this probing is something God uses to bring out the truth of God. Most of the disciples really struggle with Jesus' mission, right? We know that. You guys have known that for probably as long as you've heard any, you know, Sunday school lesson or sermon, that the disciples just, they don't quite get what Jesus is talking about going to the cross. We've mentioned it many times. The Messiah wasn't supposed to do this. He was supposed to, they thought, throw Rome and be a political leader and all that thing. And so they just don't understand it. And sometimes they outright challenge Jesus on it. And they try to stop him from going down this path of the cross. And if you remember over in Matthew chapter 16, verses 22 and 23, Jesus is telling them again about the cross. And Peter is like, no, Lord, this isn't going to happen to you. You know, in other words, you know, God forbid that this would ever happen to you. And this is where Jesus says that, you know, that famous saying that's also really, you know, disturbing and hard to hear, which is, you know, get behind me, Satan. In other words, this is the mission God has given me. You know, don't stand in the way of that, even though you care about me, even though you don't want me to do this. Don't try to prevent. This is the path that God has chosen. This is my mission. Well, what's interesting is that Thomas steps up, now not in the same passage, but when Lazarus has died and they get there like 4 days late in John 11, verse 16. They get there like 4 days late. And listen to what Thomas says in this quote. This is John 11, 16. I'll go back to 14 just a little bit. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not here so that you may believe. But let us go to him. And Thomas steps up and says to the rest of the disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. And so what we get from Thomas, and I don't think we get from any other disciples, is, again, I think he's wrestling with what Jesus is saying and trying to figure out, you know, and through investigative questions, what is Jesus' path and how do we do that? And here we have this really prophetic kind of, let us go too, that we may die with him. Seems like to me he's embracing this path of the cross that the other disciples do not in any part of any of the Gospels. It seems like Thomas is uniquely equipped to hear this message of Jesus and to follow in his ways. And so again, Thomas at his best, we see this really tried and true disciple that is willing to do what Jesus says and to embrace it if he can just understand it and follow in that path. You know, I think if you're someone who struggles with doubt or, you know, at any time, you know, it's not just, I think there's some that struggle more than others, but we all have moments where we do struggle. And I think Thomas helps us know that God is with us in that and that we have good company in those times of doubt. Because through Thomas, God shows us that, you know, doubt can also be, when it's at its best, investigation and discernment, and then also commitment. And that God uses, obviously, all of these for powerful things in the kingdom. There's a rabbi named Rabbi Simon, and he told this story about a truly righteous person who went to the city of Sodom. And he was horrified by what he saw there. The corruption and the cruelty, everything he witnessed sickened him. And so he picketed and he protested and he cried out against injustice. But everyone ignored him. And this went on for many years. And finally, someone took pity on him and said, "Don't you see that you're wasting your time? No one is listening." And the protester responded, "You don't understand. When I started, I picketed and protested in order to change things. Now I protest and picket so that they shouldn't change me." And so, you know, I see that kind of dogged determination in the disciple Thomas. You know, even if he doesn't quite understand this mission to the cross, he's going to go there anyways. And he's going to follow in Jesus. "Let us go with him that we may die also." Peter Story, who I mentioned last week, who was the bishop of the Methodist Church in South Africa during the years of apartheid, where the races of black and white were strictly segregated. It was a time of great trial and cruelty and injustice as well in their history. And he said that he used to, when he thought about the gospel or he thought about the passion story, he used to think that when the darkness was over the land on Good Friday, it was because Jesus had died that it grew dark. And then he said, when I looked closer at the story, I realized that what actually happens is it's because of the suffering that it's dark. And then when he dies, it actually gets light. It actually begins to lighten. And his kind of application of that was, you know, that what we see here is that even though Easter has not come yet, as Jesus hangs on the cross and dies and says it's finished, gives his spirit to the Lord, even though it's not Easter yet, we begin to see at that moment Easter dawning. Easter is beginning, because as Jesus dies, the darkness goes away and we see the sky start to lighten. Darkness goes to light and doubt goes to belief. You know, so as you think about doubting Thomas, perhaps we should rename him Discerning Thomas or Determined Thomas, because he certainly deserves some other names besides just maybe when he wasn't at his best. And God, through him, shows that it's not about insiders and outsiders in faith, who has more faith than others, like some sort of competition. Instead, it's about the redemptive power of God in Jesus Christ through his Son who comes and brings new life and new faith, and with Thomas leads us all to say, my Lord and my God.